Penguin Random House Audio presents The Truth About the Devlins by Lisa Scottolini. Read for you by Eduardo Ballerini. With the dedication, note, and acknowledgments read by the author.
With love for Francesca, my wonder of a daughter.
The main thing is to be moved, to love, to hope, to tremble, to live. Auguste Rodin. Chapter 1. At first, I thought I heard him wrong. It was impossible, coming from John, my older brother, the firstborn son, the most valuable Devlin. Me? I'm the black sheep, the baby of the family, the charming disappointment. John was class president, and I was class clown. He was most likely to succeed, I was most likely to get a speeding ticket. That's why I never expected him to confess to murder. What? My mouth dropped open. Did you just say you killed somebody? Yes. My brother nodded, jittery. His blue eyes looked unfocused, which never happened. Lasers have nothing on John Devlin. That can't be. Not you. You're like the best.
I did it, John said, panicky. I killed a man. TJ, what should I do?
How do I know? You're the lawyer. I didn't get it. John and everyone else in my family were lawyers in our family firm, Devlin and Devlin. I'm a convicted criminal. On second thought, maybe I would have asked me too.
God, no, I can't believe this.
Tears filmed John's eyes, which surprised me. I didn't know he had any emotions except disapproval. We stood on the large flagstone patio overlooking the pool and pool house. When he'd taken me outside tonight, I thought he wanted the $2,000 I owed him. John, who did you kill?
A client.
Yikes. I'm an investigator at the law firm. My family keeps me behind the scenes, but I don't need applause, just a paycheck. Being an ex-con doesn't pay as well as it should. Tell me what happened.
I don't know where to start. Oh, God, this is awful.
John grimaced, stricken. He ran his tongue over his lips.
Okay, well, we were at the corporate center, Knickerbocker Quarry. I hit him with a rock.
A rock? What is this, summer camp? Why? When?
Less than an hour ago. I came directly here.
Meanwhile, there was no blood on him. Only my brother could kill somebody with a rock and not get dirty. His silk tie was spotless, and his Brioni suit fit him like Batman. How did you beat him with a rock? And
I didn't beat him. I threw the rock and it hit him in the head. I heard a crack.
John's upper lip curled with disgust.
Then he dropped.
I figured it was his fastball. John pitched for Villanova, where every Devlin but me went to college. Then what happened?
I came here. I knew Nancy and everybody would be waiting. I panicked.
John raked a hand through thinning brown hair. He was 40 years old, but looked 50 and usually acted 80, but not tonight. Okay, let's go. We have to do something with the body. John recoiled.
Like what?
Bury it? Isn't that why you're telling me?
TJ, no, we can't. I don't know what to do.
John rubbed his face.
We can't leave now. You know how Dad is about his birthday?
I glanced through the window to the dining room, where dinner was just getting underway. My mother was setting an antipasto platter on the table, and my father stood talking with my sister Gabby and her husband Martin. John's wife Nancy sat with my little nephew Connor, who was playing with a matchbox Jaguar I'd brought him. My father's birthday was a national holiday in our house. Christmas never had it so good. John straightened, blinking.
TJ, I can't live with this. I'm coming clean. I'm gonna tell-
No! Stop! I grabbed him by his hand-stitched lapel. You'll go to prison.
I deserve to.
You can't handle it.
You did?
That's how I know you can't.
I can if you can.
My brother is crazy competitive. If he'd been in the Donner Party, He would have pigged out. John, let's go. Here's Mom now. John turned, and my mother opened the French doors to the patio, making a chic silhouette in a dark Chanel pantsuit backlit by the chandelier. Marie Spano Devlin had the only brown eyes and strong nose in our family, and her olive skin was spared our regulation Irish freckles. Silvery strands gleamed in her onyx black chignon, and lines bracketed her mouth, but to me, she'd only gotten lovelier with age. I adore my mother, and she always has my back. She calls me her little devil, which fits.
Boys, time for dinner.
Mom, sorry, we have to go. I detected Lambrusco on her breath, sipped out of sight because of my sobriety. The scent wasn't strong, but I'm McGruff for booze.
Go where?
My mother blinked, puzzled.
We're about to eat.
I know, sorry. I tugged John into the dining room, and my mother stepped aside, her lips parting in dismay.
TJ, what's going on? You can't miss dinner. Please eat without us.
I hustled past the table as everyone looked at us in surprise, especially my father. Paul Francis Devlin had graying light brown hair, and we looked a lot alike. We had the same blue eyes, round and set far apart with thick eyebrows, a longish nose, and a mouth that was on the big side. Every time I looked at my father, I saw a successful version of myself. I can only guess what he saw when he looked at me.
TJ, where do you think you're going? You'll miss dinner.
I know, I'm really sorry, but it can't be helped. I kept moving, but my father was already out of his chair. He'd taken off his tie, and his white Oxford shirt was wrinkled from the workday. He was a big guy, 6'3" and in decent shape. He'd played basketball at Villanova before they were Final Four good, a former power forward who still exuded power. John added,
I'm sorry, too. We'll be back as soon as we can.
John, what did TJ do now?
My father snapped, assuming that I was in trouble and John was helping me, which even I had to admit made sense. I was the bad son, and John was the good son. Our roles in our family are like our seats at the kitchen table. Forever. I dragged John out of the house and down the flagstone steps to the circular driveway. My parents lived in a McMansion that reeked of curb appeal, on 6 acres of perfect landscaping in Philly's exclusive main line. Automatic sprinklers whirred in the garden, and the air smelled like Kemlon. I never felt at home here, because we grew up in the Devlin starter house, and our problems started after we got rich. Not that I have anything against money. Money has something against me. We walked to my car, which was parked behind John's and my sister's black Range Rovers. My father and mother both have black Range Rovers, too. Sometimes I'm surprised they didn't name the firm Devlin and Devlin and Devlin and Devlin. I'll drive, let's go. I opened the door and jumped in my car, and John followed suit, frowning.
New car?
You've owed me $2,000 since forever.
You'll get it back. I needed new calipers.
I'm a car guy. I buy cars at seized asset auctions, fix them up, and flip them. This one was a 2020 Maserati Quattroporte, formerly owned by a drug kingpin. Basically, I put the car in cartel.
Don't drive crazy.
Have we met?
I pressed a button, igniting one of the most distinctive engines on the planet. We took off. Chapter 2. We whizzed past big stone houses, townhome developments, and strip malls. John let his anxiety show now that we were alone, raking his hand through his hair again. I gave him time to calm down, but I had questions.
So, John, tell me what happened. It's horrible. It all happened so fast. I just reacted.
What happened? Break it down.
I don't know where to start.
John rubbed his face.
There was so much blood. I didn't mean to kill him. I wasn't aiming for his head. I was aiming for the gun.
Who's the client? Do I know him?
No. His name's Neil Lemaire. He's the accountant at Runston Electronics.
Why were you meeting with him?
Okay, well,
John.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?